Penguin Random House Audio presents Tell Me Everything, a novel by Elizabeth Strout. Read for you by Kimberly Farr. To my dearest friend and first reader of 40 years, Kathy Chamberlain, whose sensibilities have enabled me to be the writer I am, and whose advice was responsible for the very voice of this book, and to my husband, Jim Tierney, who allows me the freedom to write, and also to Jim Hawanek, premier defense attorney of Maine, and a generous source of information. Book 1. 1. This is the story of Bob Burgess, a tall, heavy-set man who lives in the town of Crosby, Maine, and he is 65 years old at the time that we are speaking of him. Bob has a big heart, but he does not know that about himself. Like many of us, he does not know himself as well as he assumes to. And he would never believe he had anything worthy in his life to document. But he does. We all do. Autumn comes early to Maine. By the second or third week in August, a person driving in a car might glance up and see in the distance the top of a tree that has become red. In Crosby, Maine, this year it happened first with the large maple tree by the church, and yet it was not even midway through the month of August. But the tree began to change color on its side facing east. This was curious to those who had lived there for years. They could not remember that being the first tree to change color. By the end of August, the entire tree was not red, but a slightly orange, yellowy thing, to be seen as you turned the corner onto Main Street. And then September followed. The summer people went back to where they had come from, and the streets of Crosby often had only a few people walking down them. The leaves did not seem vibrant overall, and people speculated that this was because of the lack of rainfall that August and September had endured. A few years earlier, people entering the town of Crosby from the turnpike's exit would drive past a car dealership and a donut shop and a diner, and also by large run-down wooden houses whose porches held things like bicycle tires and plastic toys and coat hangers and air conditioning units that had not been used in years. And in one of these houses, a middle-aged man named Ricky Davis lived. He was a large man and frequently drunk, and could often be seen leaning over the rail of his side porch with his pants halfway down, showing his huge bottom, crack and all, to the folks driving by. And those who had not seen this before would turn their heads to watch with a sense of wonderment. But then the town council had voted to put in the new police station at that spot, and so Ricky Davis and the house he had lived in were now gone. It was rumored that he was living out near the old fairgrounds in a Hatfield housing unit. When you got into the middle of the town, you could see a large brick house that stood a little off Main Street. After the clocks were set back in November, making it dark earlier, the few folks driving by and those who might be strolling on the sidewalk across the street could see into the windows of this house, yellow from the lamps turned on inside. And Bob Burgess and his wife, Margaret Estiver, might be observed cooking together in their kitchen until they tugged their curtains closed. People knew who they were, and in a way not fully conscious, there was a sense of safety that came from this couple, living right here in the middle of town. Margaret was the Unitarian minister, and she had her following. Bob had been a lawyer in New York City for many years in his younger days, but nobody held this against him, probably because he had grown up in Shirley Falls, 45 minutes away. He had returned to Maine almost 15 years ago when he married Margaret. He still took occasional criminal cases in Shirley Falls and was known to keep an office there, though he had mostly retired by now. And also, people spoke of this quietly, Bob had suffered a tragedy in childhood. He had been playing with the gear shift of the family car, and it had rolled down the hill of the Burgesses' driveway. People in town understood that the car, and therefore Bob, had killed Bob's father, who was checking on their mailbox there. Olive Kittredge, who was 90 years old and living in the retirement community called the Maple Tree Apartments, knew this about Bob Burgess, and she had always liked him. She thought he had a quiet sadness to him, most likely from this early misfortune. Olive did not particularly care for Bob's wife, Margaret. This was because Margaret was a minister, and Olive did not like ministers, except for Cookie, who had married her to her first husband, Henry. Wonderful man, Reverend Daniel Cook, and wonderful man, Henry Kittredge. The pandemic had been hard for Olive Kittredge, hard for everyone, really. But Olive had endured it, day after day in her little apartment in this retirement community. Yet when they stopped allowing people to eat in the dining room and started bringing their food to them instead, she thought she would go absolutely batty. By the end of that first year, though, with her vaccinations and then later a booster, she was able to get out a bit more. Someone might drive her into town or take her down by the water. But the real problem was that during the pandemic, Olive's best friend, Isabel Goodrow, who lived two doors down from her, had taken a bad fall and, of all the awful things that could have happened, had been moved over the bridge to the nursing home part of the place. Now Olive went to visit Isabel every day, reading her the newspaper from front to back. But it had been hard, and it still was. Out on the end of the Point of Crosby, high up on a cliff that looked over the mostly roiling waters of the Atlantic Ocean, lived a woman named Lucy Barton, who had arrived with her ex-husband, William, 2 years before, escaping New York City during the pandemic, and they had ended up staying in town. There were mixed feelings about this. The natural reticence toward New Yorkers was part of it, but also housing prices in Crosby had gone through the roof exactly because of folks like this Lucy Barton, who had decided to stay in town. And anyone from Maine who had been hoping to move into a nicer house now found that they could not afford one. Lucy Barton had grown up in a small town in Illinois and had lived in New York City her whole adult life. She had never even been a summer person in Maine before arriving here with her ex-husband. Also, Lucy Barton was a fiction writer, and that made people have different feelings. Mostly, they would have preferred her to go back to New York. But nobody seemed to have anything bad to say about her. And except for her walks along the river with her friend, Bob Burgess, she was rarely seen. Although she was sometimes observed going through the back door that led up to the little office space she rented above the bookstore. On Main Street, there were help wanted signs, or hiring now signs, in most of the store windows. And along the coastline, a few restaurants had to close.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?